Thank you, Eason. Now, for the last couple of years, I've been spending a lot of time talking about how it is necessary as Christians to love your neighbor. Today, I'm very happy to introduce Pastor Namrata Sun, who is our neighbor. She is the English pastor for the Mandarin Church that meets in the afternoon, which is legally called Scarborough Chinese Bible Church. I hope I have those words in the correct order. Pastor Namrata.
Good morning, church. It's my pleasure to be here and to preach this message with you guys. Can we bow our head and pray together? Father, we thank you for gathering us here, and thank you for inviting us into your kingdom and into your house. Father, would you please use this time to really speak to each one of our hearts and let us to really come and really see your heart of compassion. May you give us that heart of compassion so that we may go out and to invite people into your kingdom. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen. And I believe I see some familiar faces. You may not even recognize me. When I first came to Canada, it was like 21 years ago, I believe. Yeah, and this is the first church I've ever visited. And I can see some familiar faces here. And yeah, like, I don't know their names. But yeah, you received me well back then. And now I when Scarborough Chinese Bible Church planted the church here, that's when I started to attend the Mandarin Church, and now I'm a pastor in that church. So it's a blessing to be here, and it's kind of like interesting to stand here to preach in English as well, because usually when I stand here, it's preaching to the Mandarin congregation, and I usually preach English downstairs. So it's a very interesting journey, and thank God for this journey. And so today I'm going to talk about acts of compassion. And in this very short passage, this short passage portrays Jesus' daily life. He did not simply preach in the same place every week or every day, but the scripture tells us that he went through all the towns and villages preaching in their synagogues. He shepherded them with the word of God, and he proclaimed the good news of kingdom, healed many disease and sickness. He invited people into the kingdom of God. And kingdom of God is a place where God reigns. It's a place where we magnify the Lord's name. But when you look around the world, you soon will realize that not everyone is in the kingdom of God, and not everyone know God. There are so many people who still live in oppression. There are so many people who still live in broken relationship, in sickness. They still live in the bondage of sin. They still live in the power of Satan, and they have been separate from God day after day. But God does not want them to continue living in those ways. And God wanted them to come back and to know God and to be reconciled with God. So Jesus went to Samaria and to Gerasene. He went to places where many religious leaders would never want to go. He went to the homes of sinners and dined with them. He broke down the culture barriers and religious barriers. He was trying to show that the gospel is not just for the Jews, but the gospel is for every nation. And the gospel is not just for the religious leaders, but the gospel is for every single one of us that is made in the image of God. Regardless of our nationalities, regardless of our culture backgrounds or our social status, and this gospel is for you and for me. So that's why Jesus traveled to every town and every village and sharing the message of kingdom of God and inviting people to his kingdom. When he saw these large crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus compared these people to sheep without shepherd. I want you to use your imagination a bit right now. Imagine what would happen to a group of sheep without a shepherd, a flock of sheep without shepherd, right? Can you imagine that? When bears or wolves come to attack them, what will happen? There's no one there to protect them. When they are lost, they don't have anyone to guide them to the right path. And they are desperately need a shepherd to guide them, to protect them, to comfort them, and lead them right to the right path. And similarly, if we do not know the God who created us, if we do not know the God who loves us, we too are like people who are harassed and helpless. We do not know the meaning of life. We are often living in confusion and we feel lost. And some people may even struggle with depression or suicidal thoughts. And when Jesus saw people in such condition, he did not turn away and say, like, I don't even know you guys. Ignore them, right? That's not what Jesus did. But scripture tells us that Jesus had compassion on them. His heart was broken for what he was seeing. His heart broke for whatever they were going through in their lives. So he longed to become their shepherd and lead them back into the kingdom of God so that they were no longer living in those conditions. The Bible often tells us that the God we worship, the God that we love, he is the compassionate and gracious God. He is slow to anger, abundant in love. Compassion means being deeply concerned for the suffering or misfortunes for others, being moved with tenderness. The authors of the New Testament often use the word compassion to describe Jesus' feelings toward other people. It is the deepest movement of his heart. Therefore, compassion was a driving force for his action. When those who are blind were suffering from leprosy, when they come to Jesus, Jesus did not turn away from them. Instead, Jesus reached out his hand to them and he was filled with compassion. And in another occasion where Jesus used 7 loaves and 2 fish to feed a large crowd because he did not want to send them away hungry, he had compassion for them. The God we worship is the God full of compassion. And as his children, we are also called to be like him. When we lack the compassion of Jesus in our lives, we fall into self-centered living. Everything that we think about is me, me, me. My time, my schedule, my finance, my money, my power, my feeling, everything is about me. And we don't want to spend any time or any energy on the people that don't seem beneficial to us at all. When we see people who are separate from God, they might be your family members, your parents, your siblings, your friends at school, your neighbors, or people on the street. What is our response? When we don't have compassion in us, then we become like the priests and the Levites in the parable of the Good Samaritan. When priests and Levites, they are a group of people that are supposed to serve God's people. But when they saw this person who were halfway dead on the street, instead of walking toward him and heal him and help him, what they did was they walked away from him. They went to the other side of the road and they just ignored him and pretended they did not see anything. But there was a good Samaritan who saw this man who was halfway dead on the street. He had compassion for him. And because of his compassion, that he made an action. The scripture tells us that he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him in and took care of him. And on the next day, he even asked the innkeeper to take care of him, and he promised that he would pay any additional costs. Only when we are filled with the compassion of Jesus, then our attitude toward others and the way that we see them will begin to change. We were less likely to judge others or criticize them easily. We will no longer see them with prejudice or bias. And when we see people who are harassed and helpless, instead of walking away from them, we have a different attitude. We will want to walk into their lives, to be there for them, and to bring them to Christ. Choosing compassion often makes our life very, very inconvenient, which means our time, our energy, our money, our resources, our talent, and everything that we own will be poured out into other people's life. But we're willing to do that because we have experienced compassion ourselves. When I first went to university, I went to UFT Scarborough. And I complained to God a lot for the first month because UTSC was not my dream school. So I complained and complained and complained. And until one day I stopped complaining and I started wanting to find a fellowship there on campus. So I was asking one of the sisters from our church who is also a student at UTSC. I was like, do you know if there's a Mandarin Christian Fellowship on campus? And then she suggested me to talk to another pastor from a different church. I was like, why do I need to talk to another pastor when I ask a simple question? So I met up with a pastor anyway, and the pastor was telling me that they wanted to have a fellowship on campus because there were so many international students coming from China at that time, and still right now. And they wanted to have a fellowship on campus, but they failed to do so because they couldn't find the student leaders on campus. So she was looking at me and saying, Namrata, do you want to become a student leader and lead this fellowship? I was looking at her, I was like, you must be kidding me, right? I was thinking about that in my mind. I didn't say that out, but I was saying indirectly, I was like, oh, let me pray about it. You know, that's the excuse for Christians. Let me pray about it. So I did. I actually did pray about it. And I went home. I was like asking God, God, is this reason that you brought me to UTSC? Even if it is, I don't want to do it. Because I've only been a Christian for 2 years. How is it possible for me to start up a fellowship and to be the leader in this fellowship? That's impossible. Find someone else. I'm sure there's like other mature Christians on campus. I'm only a freshman student too, right? I don't know anyone on campus. So I ran away from God. And a few months later, I was talking to our senior pastor from our Mandarin church. And I was telling him about this matter. And he was very excited because he likes to plant church, right? As some of you may know. And then he was like, Namrata, go ahead, we will support you. I was like, no, you do it. I don't want to do it. So I ran away from him again. And then a few months later, during one of my morning devotion time, after morning devotion, I somehow wanted to listen to a worship song. I don't know what to listen to. So I just took out my phone and then clicked on one of the songs, which appeared to be Sent Me by Stream of Praise. It's a Mandarin song. And then the chorus was saying, Sent me. God, send me to wherever the place that needs you the most. I'm willing to give everything. And I was so moved by that song. So I was like asking God, God, where is the place that needs you the most? And inside of me, there was a conviction, international students. And I was like, no, God, other than that group, I don't even know how to be friends with them. How can I share the gospel with them, right? Other than that group. So I ran away again. And eventually, at the end of my first year, one day when I was walking toward cafeteria, and I saw a group of international students walking toward me. And then they had their newest iPhone in their hands, and they were chatting with one another. They seemed so happy. So I was like, in my mind, I was telling God, look at them. They don't need you. They are fine without you, right? And by the time I was about to cross them, and somehow, I don't know how, I felt one of the girls' emotion. I felt she was so empty inside. I still don't understand how I felt, like what she was feeling. So when I felt that, I literally stopped. I couldn't walk anymore. I froze on the spot. And I was like, oh no, they do need Jesus. Although they were materially rich, but they are spiritually poor. So that's when the time I fully surrendered. I told God, God, if this is what you want me to do, then may your will be done. But I don't know anyone still. I don't know anyone. Then send people to this fellowship and we can start this fellowship. So we prayed for the whole summer. And thank God for sending us five other student leaders, including myself as six leaders. Together, we started this fellowship. And even today, God's still using this fellowship to invite many people into his kingdom. My brothers and sisters, when we have experienced the compassion of God, there is no way that we can remain indifferent. Compassion will become the driving force behind our actions. And this action is not just a temporary action. It's not on a whim that we want to help someone or take care of someone. It's not on a whim that we even want to go on a short mission trip. But because Jesus' compassion is everlasting, he is the compassionate God. He longs for people to know him. He longs for people to be transformed through the power of the gospel. He longs for people to see his kingdom and make his kingdom become the reality of our life. He longs for the blind to see. He longs for the lepers to be cleansed. He longs for those who have never heard the gospel, hear the gospel, and to know him. He longs for them to come into his kingdom. So my prayer is, may Jesus' desire also become our desire today. And Jesus not only responded those people who are harassed and helpless with compassion, but he also called his disciples to be his ambassadors, including each one of us here today. He invited us into his mission and urging others to be reconciled with him. So he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." There are still many people in this world who have never heard about Jesus, even in Canada. A lot of times we make assumption and think that everyone in Canada know about Jesus. No, they don't. They have a very wrong understanding of who Jesus is. I want to challenge you today. When you go back to your workplace tomorrow or go back to your school tomorrow, you can ask your coworkers or your friends at school, who is Jesus? And why do we celebrate Christmas or Easter? And you will be surprised by their answers. But those conversations will open up the opportunities for us to tell them who Jesus actually is. In church, we often proclaim that Jesus is going to return again. But do you know there are so many people in this world who have never heard of Jesus, even for their first time? Yet, their hearts are ready. They are waiting for us to go into their lives and to tell them who Jesus is, so that they can respond and come back to his kingdom. I enjoy taking a prayer walk at the park near our church. Maybe you can recognize this park. It's Alexmere Park. It's literally 5 minutes away from this church. And every time when I cross that soccer field, my heart is moved. So every time when I cross that soccer field, I will lay my hands and just pray for that soccer field, because I long to see that soccer field filled with people who long to know God, to worship him, and to love him, to follow him. Every time when I prayed for that soccer field, I just feel like my heart is long to see God is moving in our generation, is moving in this neighborhood. So in the past 2 summers, I took our youth group to this soccer field or to this park for outreach on Fridays, for Friday fellowship. And in the beginning, they don't want to go. Well, most of you are youth. You can resonate with them. It feels awkward to talk with strangers, right? But they still went anyway. So we started with worship first, and our youth would start playing volleyball or basketball, invite the people at the park to join them. And we began to build this relationship with them. And some of our youth even invited their non-Christian friends to join us at the park. So they began to come to our church, and they had an opportunity to hear the gospel, and they decided to follow Jesus and became a Christian. And most of their family members are still not Christian, especially their parents. They are like Buddhist, and their parents have strict rules for, like, you know, what their kids are actually believing. But this group of youth, they devoted themselves to God, and they are willing to follow Jesus at the cost of bearing this cross. And over the past few summers, we had opportunity to have the kids around this community to sign up for the summer camp at our church. And their parents were even inviting their neighbors, their friends, to bring their kids here. So we really thank CLBC for your generosity, for allowing us to use this facility to host our summer camp here. And many kids who come to summer camp, they had opportunity to hear the gospel. They even accepted Jesus at the summer camp. Although their parents are not Christians, but the kids, they have the eagerness to hear more about Jesus. So we continue to pray for their families and to pray for these communities so that they may come to know Christ and to see the work of God in their lives. My brothers and sisters, I pray that you will see God is working in this generation. I pray that you will see that Many people's hearts are ready. They are waiting for each one of us to step out of our comfort zone and to go into their lives and to bring them back into the kingdom of God. Jesus not only said that the harvest is plentiful, but he also pointed out a reality, which is the workers are few. There are only few workers, and the harvesting process is slow, and that delay affects the crop that are already ripe. I once watched a video that talked about where a group of people, they survived in a shipwreck. So basically what happened was there was a ship, and many people, like the ship was drowning, and so many people were struggling and suffering in the ocean. And luckily, there was another ship just passed by, and so what happened? So there was a few people jumped into the ocean and trying to rescue those who were suffering in the ocean. But there was a very, very strange phenomenon. It's only those few people kept jumping back to the church, I mean, back to the ocean and bring them back. And no one joined the rescue effort, including the ones who already got rescued. They saw there are still many people drowning, were suffering in the ocean, but they just turned their eyes on the other side, pretend that they did not see anything. So at the end, those who were in the ocean, they drowned and they died. My brothers and sisters, do you remember your life before you came to Christ? Do you remember the days that you lived in pain, that you're struggling in darkness, that you did not even know how to take the next step? But Jesus had compassion on you. He saw your pain, he saw your tears, he saw your strugglings, and he sent people into your life to share the gospel with you and brought you to church. Maybe some of you who are sitting here was brought by one of your friends or your family members to church. Or maybe Jesus, maybe God, you know, used his words to speak directly into your life. That's how you get to know him. Because of his compassion, he became our shepherd and led us into his kingdom. So we'll no longer live in that harassed and helpless situation. May God help us never take his grace and his compassion for granted. May he help us always remember how he saved us from that darkness and brought us into his kingdom. My brothers and sisters, are you willing to be sent by God into his harvest field? Or are you saying, God, I'm here, but please send Pastor Tim? The Great Commission is not just for the pastors or for the missionaries. The Great Commission is for every single one of us who proclaim ourselves as a disciple of Jesus. And the Great Commission is not only meant to be carried out during the mission trip, but it's meant to be carried out in our daily lives. In your home, in your school, in your workplace, God placed you there for a purpose. And in those communities, do you see the people who are crying out for help? Do you see their strugglings? Do you see their pains? They are harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. My brothers and sisters, have compassion on them. Preach the good news to them and invite them to come back to the kingdom of God. May our prayer no longer be, here I am, Lord, send Pastor Tim or send Pastor Namrata, but may our prayer be, here I am, Lord, please send me. And finally, because the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few, and Jesus said, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. When we see the need in this world, not only do we need to respond and ask God to send us, but we also need to pray for our church, to pray for our brothers and sisters inside our community, so that God may work in their lives, so that we may come together as unity in church and to respond to his calling and to obey his will. May God help each one of us to follow him faithfully. May we have the heart of compassion of Jesus and go into the world wherever he leads us, and to preach the good news of the gospel and to invite them to his kingdom. Right now, I want you to invite you to close your eyes. Everyone, please close your eyes. My brothers and sisters, when you see people who are harassed and helpless, maybe it's someone in your household, maybe it's someone in your school, or someone in your workplace, or your neighbor, or even someone that you encounter on the street. Are you willing to respond to them with a compassionate heart of Jesus? Are you willing to walk into their lives and lead them to know the great shepherd that we follow, so that they can enter into the kingdom of God and become his children? If you are willing, would you please raise up your hand? I would like to pray for you. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your words. We thank you for your reminders. We thank you for your calling. We thank you for reminding us you are the compassionate God. Father, would you also give us that compassionate heart? So whenever we see people who are harassed and helpless, we no longer judge them. We no longer criticize them. Instead of walking away from them, may you help us to have a different reaction. May you give us courage. May you give us love, to love those around us, to love our neighbors as ourselves. May you help each one of us to be your ambassadors, to go into the harvest field and to share the gospel with them and invite them to your kingdom. May each one of us here be the ambassador of Christ. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen.